My name is Chuendo. I am an alcoholic with food. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. I'm going to start with a set-aside prayer. God, help me to set aside everything I think I know, everything I think I know about you, everything I think I know about my own recovery, everything I think I know about others, so that I can have an open mind and a new experience with all these things. Please help me see the truth. To qualify, my top weight is over 620 pounds. I mean, it is over 600 pounds. Sorry, I'm a little bit frazzled. I don't know why I'm frazzled. I'm
It's
just
okay.
frazzled for whatever reason. I'm frazzled. I'm disturbable right now. So give me just one second. Let me get my stuff cleared. Okay, to qualify, I have a top weight of over 600 pounds. I came into the rooms in 2006 when I was 26 years old. I did not work this program with my honestly or rigorously or thoroughly for the first 17 years of my attendance. So I came for 17 years and I did it my way and it didn't work. So what I did is when I came in 2006, I heard some things, but what I could not do was surrender my ideas around food. I could not surrender my ideas around what I thought was right. I could not listen to another person. I had no ability to trust anyone. And I always thought I was the smartest person in the room, no matter where that room was. I also did not believe or trust myself at all and had a history of making terrible decisions. So it was just kind of like a spiritual chemistry set for disaster. Like, I'm gonna make some bombs and it's gonna be a bad way. And so I did that for the first 17 years until 2023, when I found myself above 500 pounds again. And I finally could admit defeat, like it talks about in the AA 12 and 12. Like, the very first line is like, who cares to admit complete defeat? Practically no one. Well, in March of 2023, I admitted complete defeat. At 502 pounds, I said, okay, I'll do what anyone says, but I know I'm licked. Because I could feel the Grim Reaper calling me. I felt like I was going to die, so I was finally willing to listen. So what happens next for me is I go to my sponsor. I live in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm really only attending, rarely attending a Zoom meeting, not very much. Meetings in person were back in play. And I went to my home meeting about once a week. There were six or seven meetings a week, but I went to one. And I went to my sponsor after this revelation and I said, hey, I'm willing. And she said, I think you need to go find a male sponsor. There were no male sponsors in Omaha, Nebraska. So I had to go online, right? And I found some guy in a Hollywood square from Zoom that looked smaller than he looked when I seen him previously. So I asked him to be my sponsor and he said yes, but it came with a caveat. I had to be willing to be fired from food and food decisions. And I was desperate enough that I said yes. I didn't want to say yes. I knew what that meant. I had tried multiple times to surrender my way with food, but I had no success at it, right? The pain apparently had not been deep enough or dark enough for me, but I was at a dark enough place where I felt like my life was at stake and I didn't feel like the weight loss surgery would work for me. I didn't know about Ozempic. I didn't know about any of those GLP-1s, but I did know that I had a problem between my ears and that fat never goes away. So I did what he told me to do. I made a food plan. I surrendered my food. I sent him the pictures. I got in alignment. I got into action. And I mean, I could give you like a real heady talk on like into action and food plan and developing discipline and all of those things, but that's not really how I want to speak to you guys today. I want to speak to you like from my heart and like what my higher power has done, right? Because of, make no mistake, my food had to get dead ass. Like I found a group of guys who don't make unilateral food decisions, and I do what they do, right? But that just got me abstinent, right? That got me abstinent, which is a miracle. All by itself is a miracle that I'm abstinent. But abstinence is just getting into the starting blocks of life. Because I had been alive for 43 years, 2.5 years ago, and I had never really lived life. I had never accepted life on life's terms. And so putting down the food, I got to have a new experience. And the reason I started with the set-aside prayer is because God continues to ask me to remove from myself all the things that I think I know. Because I really don't know anything. But I do, but I have the experience of putting down the food and watching God change my entire life. My entire life, right? Like everything. You know, he's calling for everything. He wants my whole heart. He wants me to change the way I treat my children, change the way I treat my wife, change the way I treat everybody, right? Change the way I treat people I don't know. Change the way I treat people that I don't care about, right? But I'm called to love them and be tolerant. Like, I didn't have the ability to do that while drunk on the food. I didn't have the ability to see anything beyond what I wanted. What's in it for me? WIFM. I'm listening to the station all day, every day. And it's mostly food thoughts and the next food thought and when can I get some more and get this motherfucker out of my way and get that motherfucker out of my way. And I don't like that person. They're a jerk. They're not nice. They're a whore. This person's that. And that was my brain focused on every single person around me that didn't do what I wanted. I was the director that no one knew about. And I just lived in that space. And I ate over everything. And what God did was he took that away. He took that away. I wasn't even looking for freedom from that. I just wanted to not kill myself every day when I went home for dinner or before I went home for dinner. I didn't want to stop at the convenience store before I was going home for dinner because I knew at dinner I was going to eat too much. But why did I have to stop at the convenience store beforehand? Well, what if dinner's not good? Didn't matter if dinner was good. Never mattered. Dinner could be good, bad, right? Didn't matter. I was going to kill myself with that food. I was going to eat until I got that floaty feeling where I started to fall, where I know as soon as I hit a couch after the dinner, I'm falling asleep. Because I didn't want to live my life. And God was like, no, son, we're going to wake you up. We're going to wake you up to the whole thing. And me saying that God, what God has done in this space is he just changed my heart. You know, he changed my heart. Because 3 years ago, I mean, my son just turned 19 a week ago today. And 3 years ago, the relationship with him, it felt I was going to kick him out of my house. I was going to kick him out of my house. But I somehow my wife got me into therapy for him, but he never went. So her and I went. And the therapist asked me, so do you want to be the kind of parent that kicks their kid out of the house? And I wanted to say yes. But the look on his face made me feel like an idiot. And I was willing to listen to someone else's ideas. And what I knew then is I didn't want to fight my son anymore. And I didn't fight him. On that day, I stopped fighting him. And that day, I started eating like crazy. because that was the final 6 months of eating. And every day to keep my mouth shut about his drug use, about his not going to school, about all the things that I thought he wasn't doing. And I'm just this weak parent that's just letting him do it. You know what I mean? I didn't believe in love and grace and tolerance. God was about to walk me through it. Because the eating over my son, my only son, got four kids. And that relationship with my son, I use as a relationship to heal the relationship I didn't have with my dad. And when that went bad, I was like, I'll eat to death. And God used my son, and my compulsive eating went to level 49 out of 10. And when I stopped eating and I accepted my son just as he was, I accepted my wife just as she was, I accepted my daughters just as they were, everything changed and everything got different. And I don't necessarily think it got better, it just got different because I didn't know how to live in this new life. I don't know how to live. I have a living problem that I cover up with copious amounts of sugar, flour, and fat in combination. That's what I do. And I exert my will and I manipulate every situation imaginable. And I don't care. But what God did is he started to show me that I could have a different way and that I would be taken care of and that my family would be taken care of. And I never believed in love and grace and tolerance. I believed in punishment and pain until you did what I wanted. Because isn't that the only thing that really works? Isn't that what we do in this world? But I had been, going to meetings for 17 years, talking, looking at a big book, and I didn't know anything that was in it. But I had to get in the book. And everything was my problem. My son smokes weed, that's my problem. My wife doesn't treat me the way I think she should treat me, that's my problem. My workers don't do what I want them to do, that's my problem. Everything became my problem. Became an invitation from God to be like, why are you disturbable, son? What part of this do you think that you're above? And I had to fall to my knees every day. I had to spiritually get low and stay low and listen to what some guy told me who lived in Texas, who moved to New Jersey. I had to listen to what he told me. And he didn't have all my experiences. It was just, he was not me. And I don't make good decisions. So I had to get inside the herd. And the number one priority became make sure you can get in the starting block every day. And I can't get in the starting block unless my food is clean. If my food's not clean, I sever that connection with that God that was changing things. It was the first time I had ever seen movement, spiritual movement. I had been in this program a long time and in a lot of pain and was real fat. Was real fat. And I had to be willing to let this program puncture my ego every single day. I had to be willing to set aside everything I thought I knew every single day. And I had to develop a new experience. And I had to walk and talk in that experience. Because that's where my recovery actually is. When I do the step work, when I help someone else. Abstinence is great, right? But I got glasses on and I got clothes on. For me, abstinence is just putting my glasses on and my clothes on. I'm not going outside naked. I'm not going outside without my glasses. I can't see shit. This is what abstinence is. It's just my clothes and my glasses. It gives me an opportunity to see and to not feel unsafe. Because if I were to walk outside butt naked with no glasses, I would just feel unsafe. All abstinence was, if someone would have told me that abstinence is just going to make you safe, I probably would have never tried. But that's what it became. Abstinence is just the starting point. I wake up abstinent, grateful, that I can experience whatever God has for me to experience today? Am I willing to let him have my heart? And in these last in these last 3 months, right? Unbelievable, unbelievable movement, right? And I and on and you know, like, and even now, like right now, I'm moving through a divorce, right? I'm moving through a divorce, and I was like, well, this is just, is this really? I get sober and I can't fix all the things. Yep, can't fix them. God can fix them. And when I left my house 3 months ago, and the anger and the vitriol that was in my wife's heart, because this program told me I had to be honest. And I said, well, if I'm honest, she's going to leave me. If I'm honest, I'm definitely not going to be in the house. But I couldn't afford to carry the lies. God said, son, you can't afford to carry the lies. You carry the lies, you're going to eat. So I had to tell the truth. And if you'd have told me the day after that I would ever get invited to my house, I'd been like, no, I got invited to my son's birthday party on Saturday. Right? I got invited to my son's 19th birthday party on Saturday. My wife, you know, found enough grace for me to allow me to come, right? And I got to serve cake and brownies and ice cream to little kids and to adults and to other little compulsive overeaters, right? And I got to do it with impunity, right? I don't care about that today. It has no effect on me because I'm safe and I'm protected in this abstinence. I'm not doing anything to jeopardize that. I got to get low every day. I got to get low. I want to just finish with this in the OA 12 and 12 in the beginning, like the first, I think it's like on the first page of chapter 7, it talks about we are on equal footing with our fellows and God. I didn't believe that ever. I'm definitely better than Chantel from Ireland. I'm definitely better than Sarah R. I'm definitely better than Tony. I'm definitely better than Ed. I'm definitely better than Maxine. I'm definitely better than Rich. That's how I lived my life. I'm better than all of you. While I'm constantly putting myself below you because I don't actually believe that. But when step 7 hit me with I'm on equal footing with all my fellows in God, how do I not give God all of me? Because if I'm on equal footing, that means I get to stand side by side. That means I have no more or less value. It's a leveling of the ego. It's the daily puncturing of the ego. This program saved my life, right? This program saved my life, but I had to surrender to the action of it. And more than just the abstinence, more than just getting a day, I had to be willing for God to make me new. And that's what this program is. I was over 600 pounds. And I'm 323 pounds, and I'm still losing weight, and I'm still doing all the things, and I'm riding bikes, and I'm having a life that I could have never imagined. But what I'm doing is I'm letting God make me new. And I accept that wherever it takes me today. I'm grateful to be able to share and grateful to be able to hear from whoever shares after me.